Turn with me now to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. We read verses 1 through 8, and this is a parable, and so this will be our text. The reading in its entirety will be our text. Let's listen to God's word together. And then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Amen. May God bless the reading of this word to us tonight. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, congregation, this parable is spoken in the context of Jesus' teaching about end time teachings and warnings, about second coming type of warnings, and about the things that we are to be prepared for in as we wait for the second coming of Jesus. And in the previous teaching that we looked at, Jesus' words implicitly and explicitly assume that life in this waiting period before the second coming is going to be, there are going to be times that will be very hard. That's the assumption he has as he's speaking to his people. Jesus is a good shepherd. He's pastoral in his ministry. And he's remembering that, and he wants to equip us for those things. Trials, persecution, sorrows. These could come from any number of things, from enemies, from calamities, from effects of living in a fallen world in general. And in this case, before the parable is actually spoken, Luke tells us why Jesus tells this story. And that's very unusual. As far as I know, that's the only parable in which the reason for the parable is given before the parable is spoken. So Jesus wants us to get the point, and that's why this parable is put the way it is. And we're told why Jesus tells this story, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. That's his message to us tonight. Now that word lose heart, I could clarify that a little bit. It means to be utterly spiritless. It means to be wearied. And it means to be exhausted and to want to give up and to become hopeless. That's what lose heart means. It's a very deep kind of a darkness or despair that could come on a person. Jesus, I don't want you to be there. Now, Jesus didn't waste words. So his parable is designed to encourage us to continue in prayer and not lose heart, because there's a real possibility that we will. That we would give up praying to God. That we would give up in utter hopelessness and dispiritedness. Some of you may be already there today. Some of you may have been there in the past at times. And some of us might be there in some other day. So you can see how this speaks to us, but some might be there today. Some might be those who have lost hope and you can't even get the words of prayer out of your mouths anymore. And when you do, it feels like the prayer doesn't go any higher than the ceiling. And you feel as if you've been completely forgotten by God. Or that you've been left on your own and there's just no strength of hope left in your heart. Now, if that's where you are today, or if that's where you're tempted to go in your circumstances, then Jesus has a word for you in this parable in a very specific way. It's a wonderful word. It's simple, but it's very important. Keep praying. Do not lose heart. And that word is a word that comes directly to you from your Savior. Now, what are the reasons he gives? Well, first of all, he says, don't quit praying and don't lose heart because your God is not like this unjust judge. And so the story begins. There is this judge and he neither fears God nor has respect for human beings. Now, that's a pretty rough judge, huh? And that's a bad situation to have a judge like that. But there's now this widow, and this widow has an adversary, and this widow needs justice, and that's really tough. In Jesus' time, a widow is really the perfect picture of a person in society without resources and without influence. And she's being unjustly oppressed. Oh, judge, please help me against my adversary. Now, everybody who's listening at this point in the parable is thinking, this is really, really bad for her. This is not going to end well. Because she's drawn the worst possible judge out of a pool of options for her case. And she's coming before this person who doesn't fear God and doesn't have any respect for her. But this judge has never seen the like of this woman. As Jesus tells the story, she just keeps coming and coming and coming at him for justice. And she won't give up. Now, often parables have surprising plot twists in them. And here's one. The judge finally says to himself, you know, I don't fear God and I don't respect people, but this woman is driving me crazy. And just to get her out of my hair so I don't become wearied by her, I'm going to give her justice. I don't want to see her again. It's a terrible attitude, right? What kind of a judge is that? But now Jesus, having said that, turns to his disciples. And it's turning to his disciples and to those who are hearing that he wants to teach this to. And he says, hear the message of the story of the unjust judge. And here's his point. Your God is not like that unjust judge. Now, here's the problem for us when we hear that. When you're hopeless, that's how you think and I think of God. When you've lost your spirit in exhaustion and you think he just doesn't care, how else can I explain the fact that he is not hearing my prayers and that he's letting me languish here? He must not care about me. And Jesus' whole point is to say to us, your God is not like that. Will not God avenge? Will not God give justice to his own elect who cry out to him day and night? Do you see the contrast that Jesus is deliberately setting here? If this judge, for his own selfish reasons, will give this widow justice, will not your God, who loves justice and who loves mercy and is righteous, will he not give you justice? So the first thing Jesus is teaching in this passage is that God is more willing to hear and answer your prayer than you are even to pray it. But when you're hopeless, when you're in despair, because of difficulty, because of the length of the trial, you have a hard time believing that. And Jesus understands us, doesn't he? And I think that's one of the real encouraging things is, as we've been going through the book of Luke, that you see who Jesus is, and he gets us. He understands our spirit. And Jesus paints a picture of in this unjust judge of what we really think about God sometimes. That's very honest, isn't it? It might not be something you want to acknowledge sometimes. That's how we think of God sometimes. When we're in a very dark and weary frame of mind. And know this, Jesus is saying to us. Your God is not like that. I know what you're thinking in your hearts, he's saying. You think he's up on a throne and he's unconcerned. Uninterested, forgotten about you, but he won't be like that. And that's the first point of good news in this parable. Your God is more willing to hear and answer your prayer than you are even to pray. And that's so important. It's so vital for us to understand that, because if you've ever lost hope, you know what it is to lose the ability to pray even. And Jesus is saying, Christians, your heavenly Father is waiting to be gracious to you. And he has a love for you. You just can't see it right now. But he's not like that unjust judge. Now, the second thing he says is, you're also not like that widow. You and me are not like this widow. Now, in one sense, of course, we are to be like this widow in her persistence. She is an example picture of persistence in prayer. And we should look at that and recognize that is commendable. And we ought to be commended to her example there. She kept pounding on the door until she got an answer. In other words, she didn't give up. She didn't lose heart. But in a very important way, we are not like her. Feeling left out in the cold, perhaps, helpless and hopeless, no resources, no influence. You're not that. Whatever your feelings may be, you are not without resources. You are not without hope. Listen, shall not God avenge his elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them, though he seems to be slow to help them? Shall not a God avenge his own elect? Now, first thing I want you to do is put aside all your objections and all your questions and all your speculative issues with predestination or with the election, if you have any of those. Jesus is talking to us here. Think about that. Jesus is talking about this, whatever your views are in election. Jesus is teaching us something and he believes it and he's saying, listen, you are the beloved of God. He has set his love on you from before the foundation of the world. He loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son from heaven to save you, to die in your place. He forgives you your sins. He adopts you as his children. He has made you co-heirs of his kingdom with Jesus. He doesn't love you less than he loves his own son, the Bible tells us. You're his child. You are his beloved, his chosen ones. It's a lot different standard or place of privilege than this widow, is it not? Now, that's what the doctrine of election is for, I might say to you, too. I'm not saying it's the only thing, but it's one of the big things. Not so that we argue about it and debate about it, but so that when you are utterly spiritless and when you're weary and you're hopeless, that you still know that God has set his love on you from before the foundation of the world and he will not let you go. And that's really good news. You're not like a widow before an unjust judge. You're a child before a king. Coming to the king and asking that king for help. And he loves you. And you're his chosen one. So even though you feel you have no hope right now, nevertheless, you are the beloved of God. So Jesus tells you, you're not like your God is not like the unjust judge, and you are not like the widow. And he says, now listen, Jesus is coming to set everything straight. He's coming to set everything right. Listen to Jesus. Shall not God avenge his own, even though he seems to be slow to help? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. But when's that going to happen, Jesus? When the Son of Man comes. When? Not if. When the Son of Man comes. Now just pause right there. What's Jesus doing? He's saying that the full answer to the prayers of his people and our cries for justice in the midst of our hopelessness and in the midst of our despair will be revealed. The answer to those prayers will be revealed at his second coming for certain. I am coming and justice is coming with me. And so Jesus is saying, don't you understand the very purpose of my coming is to set everything right for you, the believer. We will be vindicated. Now, he uses this curious phrase along the way, though, doesn't he? He will give justice speedily, and we have to struggle with that, don't we? We've been waiting for 2,000 years. What do you mean, speedily, Jesus? Well, you have to remember that first century Christians had the same concern and objection or question, didn't they? Remember in the book of 2 Peter. And you remember how there are people who are saying, well, he hasn't come back yet. Where is he? Has he forgotten? And Peter says, don't measure or judge the Lord as you would a man. With the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as a day gone by. God has heard your prayers, Jesus says. God will be hearing your prayers. And my coming is the answer ultimately to your prayers. When I come, I will give the justice that you're looking for. You see, the way to think through this is this way. In Jesus' first coming, he bears injustice on the cross so that we won't get what we deserve. And so now when he comes again the second time, he brings justice to give us blessings that we don't deserve. Jesus' coming is an answer to your cries for mercy and justice and help. There will be some things in this life and in this world that will not be put right before the second coming. And we're supposed to understand that. We're supposed to get that. Not everything will be put right here in this life. And Jesus knows that that's the case. Jesus did not promise that everything in your life will be put right. In this world, he did not promise that. But he did say this for those who trust in him. Everything will one day be put right for you. There's an old saying that was used in the African American community in the days of slavery. An old minister among them said, "The Lord may not come when you want him, but he's always on time." You can imagine the people crying out in their oppression and their slavery. And this man stands up and says, he's always on time. We have our own timetable. The Lord has his timetable. The Lord Jesus is saying, I will take care of you. I will take care of everything. No prayer is falling to the ground unanswered. There will be no ultimate hopelessness for the Christian, and there ought not to be a sense of hopelessness for the Christian, for my people, however hard your situation is now, because I'm coming and I will set everything right. And so then Jesus, having said that, now ends with a very challenging question. And it's the question that he has to speak to us, whether we're hopeless or not, but often especially to those who are struggling with that sense of hopelessness or weariness. And it's this: when he comes, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This is what Jesus wants for us. This is what Jesus' aim is for us. Here's why I want you to pray and never lose heart. Because I want you to be living by faith. Will there be faith on the earth when I come to look for it? And this phrase shows us, really, I think, it connects this passage with the passage before it that also talks about how we prepare for the second coming. What are we supposed to be doing in the days leading up and before the second coming, which have been going on since Jesus left this world? What are we supposed to do? How do we prepare? And he told them in chapter 17, well, don't go looking for signs and get all caught up in that. How then do we prepare? He says, well, prepare this way: by trusting and hoping and persevering in prayer and faith. See, it's very important for us to understand that all the encouragements that Jesus offers in this parable to us is given for those who trust in the Lord. Do you trust in the Lord? Are you one of those who trust in the Lord? These encouragements are for you. Jesus' words tell us that life in this world will often leave us utterly spiritless, exhausted. Trials, sufferings, persecutions. It's not going to stop, brothers and sisters, until the end. But believers, Jesus is saying, are the only human beings on the earth who have no right to be hopeless. Even though we still struggle at times with hopelessness, the reason why we have no right to stay or to remain hopeless, the reason why that we ought not to, is because of Jesus. That's why the way to get ready for Jesus coming again is to trust Him. Faith points away from yourself and rests in Jesus, right? Faith points you to God's Word. Faith rests in the promises of God. Faith rests in Jesus as our hope. His resurrection is the picture of our resurrection. In ourselves, we have plenty of things to despair about. No question. I could go on with a list of 1,000 reasons to be hopeless from within my own heart. And you could too. But our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is why we ought not to despair. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. So why did Jesus tell the story? So that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. And some of us have lost heart. And even though you trust in the Lord, you're in a place right now, perhaps, where you've lost heart, where you've become discouraged and weary. And Jesus doesn't want you to stay there. The hope that He has purchased for you is certain and it is extensive. And He wants you to exercise your faith in Him and to pray for His strengthening grace so that our hope remains in Him. And so that when He comes again, He will find you walking in faith before Him. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen.